You got to think about that a little bit. Brother went on to say that for the atheist, April 1st is their holiday. That's April Fool's Day. Key word there is fool. But anyway, y'all are not laughing, but that's okay. Not a problem. We're going to be in the Old Testament tonight. If you would please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. I was looking at the schedule for speaking on Wednesday night, and I found out that I've got two Wednesdays in August and two Wednesdays in September. So what I thought I'd do is start a study in the book of Proverbs, and maybe it'll go beyond that. Hopefully it will. We'll have to wait and see how it goes. I haven't heard a lot of public platform ministry on the book of Proverbs lately. I think it's a book that I don't think it's ignored exactly. Maybe it is. But we hear very little preaching, public preaching on the book of Proverbs. So I'd like to start that tonight, and we're going to look at chapter 1, the first seven verses of chapter 1 tonight on the book of Proverbs. Before we go on, we're going to read this. I'm going to read the passage, and then I'm going to give you some background information on the book of Proverbs, and then we'll proceed from there. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive with the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we'll stop right there. Proverbs is known in the scriptures as one of the wisdom books of the Old Testament. It does consist of various things. There are various things to look at when we read the book of Proverbs. You'll notice it has many comparisons in there. It also has rules of living. It has parables. It has sayings. It has thoughts on wisdom. And for us as Christians, Proverbs gives us a good, down-to-earth, practical, everyday formula for Christian living. If we want to increase our knowledge and our wisdom of how to live the Christian life in the power and the Spirit of God, Proverbs is a good place to be. And there are various categories of Proverbs. I'll mention those, even though we're not going to go through them very much. The categories of Proverbs are the historical, the metaphorical, the enigmatic, the parabolic, and the didactic. And I know Brother Bob's over here shaking his head. And, you know, I had to look up all those words myself to make sure I understood what they meant. These are theological terms. For instance, didactic means teaching. The book of Proverbs is good for teaching and instruction, as we'll find out. But there are various themes in the book of Proverbs. Just a few of them are religious instruction, family relationships, child rearing, warning against various sins, and their instructions in finance. All these are the various themes of the book of Proverbs, and these are just a few things. There are many more in the book that we can read. One of the things that you'll notice, if you'll read Proverbs, you'll notice that many of the verses don't have a context. Now, what I mean by that is if you go to the New Testament, for instance, in the Gospel of John, and you're reading that chapter where Jesus says, He is the bread of life, I am the bread of life, and there are about 10 or 12 verses in there that Jesus talks about as being the bread of life. That is the context. That is the theme of that particular passage. Well, in Proverbs, you don't have that sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes you don't. You have what I call standalone verses without a context. In other words, you have to read the verses and then study it, meditate on it, ponder it, if you want to use that word, ponder the meaning of the verse. And in the book of Proverbs, there are themes and contexts within the book. However, if you read a chapter in Proverbs, as I have often done, and just read it through once, and I read it through once and I'm thinking, you know, what in the world have I read here? And I go back and we see that in that particular chapter, there are four, five, maybe six things, six or seven things that the author is talking about within that one chapter. So we see that some of those verses do not have a context. What we have to do, I believe, with the book of Proverbs, and this is a suggestion to you if you read it, is take each verse one at a time, read it, try to understand it, try to meditate on it, try to make an application to your life as a believer, then go on to the next verse. And you could probably make notes, if you want, written notes, if you wanted to go do that. But the book of Proverbs, I think, should be studied and not read, right? Not just merely read. Now, many Bible commentators and preachers will tell you, well, if you read one proverb, one chapter a day in Proverbs, you go through the whole book in a month because there's 31 chapters to the book. That's all well and good, you know, that's fine. But like I said, the book of Proverbs should be studied and not just read. And as we go along, we're going to take a look at this this technique in the book of Proverbs where we have these standalone verses without a context. Now, I'm not saying that it's like that in the book of Proverbs in every situation. For instance, in chapter 1 here, we're going to look at the first seven verses, and they do have a context. They do have a theme, and that theme is wisdom, as we'll soon discover. But those are just some thoughts I would like to share with you on the book of Proverbs. Now, in verse 1, we see the author of Proverbs is mentioned, King Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. And Solomon is the author of most of the chapters in the book of Proverbs. Not all of them, but he is the author of most of the Proverbs. You recall in your readings in the Old Testament, especially in 1 Kings, that Solomon was known as the wisest man of his time. People would come far and wide to hear the wisdom of Solomon. The Queen of Sheba made a special trip to Israel, brought Solomon incredible gifts. And she wanted to ask the King Solomon questions. And sometimes that the Hebrew word in that text is not only questions, the word is riddles. And we'll see that in just a few minutes. And Solomon answered the Queen of Sheba. He gave her an answer for every question and every riddle that she put to him. So we see that King Solomon was a wise man, and he was the author of most of the chapters in the book of Proverbs. Now, in verse 2, we see the wisdom, we see the predominant theme of Proverbs, which is wisdom. Verse 2 says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding." Now, the word wisdom here means applied knowledge. Or, you could put it this way, the divinely created system of rules that governs the moral fiber of the universe. Wisdom is more than just knowledge. It's the application of knowledge. For instance, if you build a huge rocket ship, a missile, you spend a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money on building this huge rocket ship, and somebody asks you, boy, that's an engineering feat. That took a lot of knowledge to build that that huge rocket. And you say, yep, sure did. And the fellow says, well, what are you going to do with that rocket? And you say, well, I don't know. You know, you use your knowledge to build this huge rocket, but what are you going to do with it after you build it? See, that requires wisdom. And in that instruction on wisdom, Solomon uses that many times in the book of Proverbs. And the book itself in Proverbs provides us with wisdom for our everyday Christian experience. You know, we all need wisdom. There are situations that we come up with or we have to deal with in our Christian experience that require a certain amount of spiritual wisdom. That's what we're talking about here in the book of Proverbs. Spiritual wisdom, the wisdom of God. Not our own wisdom, not the wisdom of other people, but God's wisdom. And verse 2 also says, to perceive the words of understanding. The word understanding means discern. The ability to make right choices. In other words, spiritual discernment. And brother, sister in Christ, I'll tell you something. What is needed in the body of Christ, not necessarily Northgate Chapel, but the body of Christ in the world today is spiritual discernment. That is so lacking among many professing believers in Jesus Christ today. They don't have spiritual discernment. They not only not understand the Scriptures, they don't understand the application of the Scriptures, they don't have spiritual discernment to use in their everyday Christian life. And it's sad, it's tragic. The book of Proverbs will provide you and I spiritual discernment that we need in our everyday Christian experience. And Solomon continues on in verse 3. He says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. In this particular case, wisdom is talking about good sense and practical judgment. Good sense and practical judgment. We do need that, don't we? We do need good sense and practical judgment in our everyday life. And one who practices wisdom, in verse 3, is they're right, they're just, and they're fair. That is the practical application of wisdom. Good sense and practical judgment. Wise dealing is the word used here for wisdom. So we see that the book of Proverbs will provide us these things. That is wise dealing, a good sense of practical judgment that we can use in our everyday lives. Solomon continues on in verse 4. He says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, in verse 4, we have two groups of people that Solomon mentions. He mentions the simple and the young man. First of all, the word subtleties here means acting with forethought, resulting in appropriate behavior. In other words, put that in plain everyday English. Make sure that you think before you speak. Think before you act. You know, we get in the habit sometimes of shooting first and ask questions later, don't we? We do that with our tongue. We do that with our actions. And that gets us in trouble sometimes with other people. And we have to backtrack and say, Lord, I sure didn't mess up today. And I should have used wisdom in talking to so-and-so. And so the word subtleties here means acting with forethought, thinking before you're acting, thinking before you're speaking. And the word simple, now the word simple is used differently in Proverbs than we understand it today. The word simple today means something that's uncomplicated, something that's unsophisticated, something that's fairly ordinary. But in this particular case, the word simple means gullible. People who are gullible, people who are easily susceptible to good influences or bad influences, people who are weak-willed. It's almost like we're describing children, isn't it? And we see here that some adults have these problems, that they're gullible, they're easily susceptible to good or bad influences, they're weak-willed. But in this particular case, the simple people can be corrected by reading and applying the book of Proverbs, the wisdom in this book. We also see in verse 4, the young man. Now, the young man or the young woman here is somebody who is maybe a little bit immature, but they're basically inexperienced. And we have young people here who are extremely intelligent, very bright, very smart people. And they lack, one of the things that they lack is experience. We all have to go through that. You and I both went through that in our younger days. We thought we knew a lot. I should speak for myself. I thought I knew a lot. I thought, well, you know, I've got the world on a string, everybody's going to come to me because I'm such a smart, bright guy, and I found out that I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. It took me some years to figure that out, but I did come to that realization. And so young people are maybe bright and knowledgeable, but they do lack experience, and that comes over a period of time. And that's what we're talking about here, the young man who is inexperienced. And we see also in verse 4, Solomon says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. That word discretion means to the ability to form plans based on knowledge. The ability to form plans based on knowledge. In other words, what that means is to have a plan and follow through with it. And make sure you're using knowledge and wisdom in those plans. You know, that's always important for young people. That's important for older people. To use discretion, the ability to form plans based on knowledge. I mean, we all have to do that. And Solomon is emphasizing that for the young person because the young people are inexperienced to a certain extent. So we go to verse 5. Solomon continues on. He says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Again, we have two groups of people here mentioned in verse 5, the wise man and the man of understanding. Well, the wise man, it's interesting that there are a lot of people out there who have wisdom. There are a lot of Christian men, Christian women, and you could point to that Christian man or woman and say, that's a wise person right there. And you would be correct in saying that. But you see, in the book of Proverbs, the wise person still needs knowledge and understanding and wisdom. I was reading a verse in Proverbs, I can't remember where it was this afternoon, that said that the wise person will become even more wiser if they heed instruction, if they heed God's instruction. So we see that wise people here need even more wisdom. The man of understanding here is a person who is open to understanding divine truth. That is a man or woman of understanding. People or believers who are open to spiritual truth. Believers who have hearts that want to know God. People are believers who have a heart for God, who have a heart to obey God in their everyday Christian experience. And we also see that phrase used in here in verse 5, wise counsel. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. That means, literally means, learn the ropes. And, you know, if we want to gain wisdom, if we want to have God's wisdom, we literally have to learn the ropes of applying God's wisdom to our everyday Christian life. And learning the ropes or wise counsel, it steers us and guides us through life. So we see here the book of Proverbs is for the simple person, the wise person, for the young person. And we see that we all need God's wisdom. We all need what the book of Proverbs calls spiritual knowledge, spiritual discernment, the ability to take that spiritual knowledge we have and apply it to our life. That's wisdom. That's what we need. That's what we need more of in the body of Christ. And I think sometimes we may not say this to other people, but we may think it in our own minds that, I've almost arrived here as a Christian. I think I've learned pretty much about all I need to know as a believer, and I know the scriptures pretty well and what they mean, and I've got the interpretation down pretty good, and, you know, I'm on my way. You know, brother, sister in Christ, if you ever think that, or if you ever believe that about yourself, you're wrong. The book of Proverbs will prove you wrong. So we need to understand when we're talking about spiritual wisdom, we're talking about learning and growing in the Christian life. You know, when I was younger, in my younger days as a believer in Christ, I thought, man, this is great. I'm learning all this stuff, and I've pretty much come to a plateau here. I don't need to learn anymore. And, you know, I found out how wrong I was. So we all need spiritual wisdom and spiritual discernment. We all need to continue to grow and develop in our Christian life. The book of Proverbs, if properly read, properly interpreted, and properly applied in our lives, will give us the spiritual knowledge and wisdom we need for our Christian experience. He also says in verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. That phrase, dark sayings, kind of threw me. I didn't really understand what Solomon was talking about there. Found out that another word for dark sayings is riddles, but the literal word is knots. Interesting, isn't it? You know, you got a rope with a lot of knots in it. I used to work in the telecommunications industry, and sometimes I'd run across these electrical cords lying on the floor. And it was a tangle of them. I mean, they looked like spaghetti. And I had to go in there. I had to untangle all those electrical cords, and it took forever. And I was getting frustrated and all that kind of stuff. And I said, man, this is crazy. I wish I had a pair of scissors so I could cut these things up, but that would be very unwise for me to do that. But, you know, we're talking about the dark sayings here. We're talking about riddles. We're talking about literally knots. The same word is interesting. It's the same word used in the book of Judges to describe Samson's riddle for the Philistines. You recall when Samson killed the lion was there dead, some bees came and made a hive, and honey came out of the carcass of the lion. And Samson posed a riddle to the Philistines regarding this carcass. Out of something strong came something sweet. I can't remember the rest of it. And he was telling the Philistines, if you give me the solution to this riddle, you know, you'll get all this stuff that I have. And if you can't guess it, then I'll get all this stuff. And the Philistines in a million years could never figure that out. You know, it was a riddle. It was a dark saying. It was like untying a knot, you see. And that same word for riddle is used in 1 Kings when the Queen of Sheba came and talked to King Solomon and asked him questions. The same word is used for riddles there, or knots. The Queen of Sheba was trying to literally tie Solomon up into knots, but she couldn't do it because Solomon, according to the Scriptures, says that he gave an answer to all her questions, to all her riddles, to all her knots. He was that much of a wise man. So we see that the book of Proverbs, in knowing the book of Proverbs, we can literally interpret life. Now, that doesn't mean we understand every single thing that's going on in our life. But the book of Proverbs will give us a vehicle, a way of interpreting events in our lives as they come up. Now, of course, some events can't be interpreted. Some of the events that happen in our lives, we just don't understand. You know, only the Lord understands. But knowing the book of Proverbs, knowing what's in there, and taking these wise sayings and making the proper application to our lives can go a long way in helping us in our life as believers, in our lives as believers. And the last verse Solomon says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Again, we have two groups of people here mentioned in verse 7. We have those who fear the Lord and those that are fools. The fear of the Lord, and we're not talking here about being afraid of God, being frightened of God, and being so scared of God we're going to run away. That's not what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord here means a submissive reverence to God. In other words, we have so much respect for the Lord that we want His will to reign supreme in our life. That is the fear of the Lord. And isn't that what we need more of in our life as believers? We need to think about, to have a submissive reverence to God, but also to understand what God's will is and apply it to our lives. And Solomon says in verse 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. It is the starting point. It is the point where we start to understand what the fear of the Lord is. that submissive reverence to God. But we also have in verse 7 that word fools. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now the word here for fools are not people who are lacking in intelligence, but people who are obstinate and stubborn. People who are determined to go their own way. They've closed their minds to God's truth. They will mock and ridicule the Bible. They will mock and ridicule God. They will reject the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fools hate God's wisdom. They don't want to be taught spiritual wisdom. And it's very appropriate here in verse 7 to call these people fools, because brother, sister in Christ, that's what they are. That's what they are. They're fools. The fool has said in their heart, there is no God. You know, we can make fun of atheists. We can laugh at them and things. But, you know, when we read the book of Proverbs, we look at the wisdom that we can apply to our lives, and we look at the people who are fools, who despise God's wisdom. And you know, at one point in our lives, many of us were in that category, weren't we? I was. I went for 32 years despising God's instruction, spiritual wisdom. I didn't want to have any part of it in my life. But when I came to Jesus Christ and was saved, all that changed, you see. So we see here in the book of Proverbs, the first seven verses speaks very clearly of wisdom. And as we go along in the book of Proverbs, we're going to see a number of themes mentioned. We'll also see some verses that don't have a particular theme, but they're a standalone type verse. We'll take a look at those things. We'll take them, we'll interpret them, and apply them to our lives as believers. I hope this will be a study in which you will get involved in reading and understanding the book of Proverbs. I hope that you go back to your homes, and sometimes this week start reading in chapter 1. But just don't read the Word of God, brother, sister in Christ. Study it. Apply it to your heart. Apply it to your life as believers. And we'll pick it up next time in verse 8. And Brother Bob has got the prayer request.